Correct. It's 7:06 PM and the meeting's called to order. Would you like me to take the roll?
Yes, please.
Okay. We'll start at the bottom tonight. Yoon. Sunhee, I see you on Zoom. Yep, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. You hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Hello?
Yep, Weisenberger.
Here.
Krasinowicz.
Here.
Simon.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Schumacher. Rogers.
Here.
Riley. Petrov.
Present.
Peavy.
Here.
Papernick. Oliver.
Here.
Oates.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Navarro.
Here.
Murphy.
Here.
McAdams. McCauley. Christman. Kirk. Kent Kirk.
Just for the record, he just asked for a text to get the
email. I tell him to check his email. It's on the agenda. I responded to both of his emails. Okay. So he'll join us in a minute. Peladon.
Present.
Cascatallo.
Here.
Kang. Johnston.
Here.
Kirk Johnson.
Here.
Ken Johnson.
Here.
Iverson.
Here.
Humbert. Herman. Hartshorn. Grant. Graham. Foster. Economos. Duba Clancy.
Here.
DeSorbo Quinn. Creedy.
Here.
Burkett. Brandhorst. Bonner.
Present.
Baird.
Here.
Bachner. Austin.
Here.
Arras. Addy. Okay, let me do a quick check. Okay, you have a quorum with 24 people present, and if Kirk gets on, then it'll be icing on the cake.
Okay. So with quorum,
yep, you can do the minutes. Sure. So the next item on the agenda is consideration and approval of the minutes of the December 7th, 2021 DEI Advisory Group meeting. Can we get a motion and a second?
So moved.
That was, I'm sorry, help me with your last name.
Oh, Nicholas.
Thank you. Motion by Nicholas, second.
Creedy.
Okay. Any discussion? Yep.
Same comment as the previous meeting. Trustee Bachner stated the land acknowledgement before we opened for public comment.
Okay. So Nancy and Mindy, can we get you to amend your motion approval of the minutes of the December 7th meeting as amended?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Public comment, there is no one registered for public comment. Is there anyone on the phone or anyone at the meeting that would like to address the chairs? Okay.
Yes, I'd like to speak, please.
Okay, go ahead, Glenn.
I don't know where else to raise this except in public comment, and I'm sorry that Erica is not here and she's not on Zoom. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. But I'm looking at the December 13 minutes of the Village Board of Trustees minutes. And I'm looking at elected official comments and announcements. And Trustee Bachner began with a land acknowledgement, and then I'm skipping over a few sentences. She then goes on to say, she commented the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group continues to make good progress toward drafting a request for proposal. I am frankly baffled by that statement when I have consistently during our previous meeting suggested that that is where we should begin, but we have made no progress on that. And I'm curious as to why she would make such a statement. And Ken, I can address this to you. You were apparently at this meeting and you acquiesced as to her making this statement. What did you have in mind, Ken?
Sure. That was a general comment as to where the committee is and where the that we all have to do every meeting. And so, I apologize if it got misconstrued, but what she was attempting to say is that we're moving forward, we're making progress, not specifically on the RFP, but in the RFP is one of the subgroups that we're moving forward in. She also, to my understanding, talked about the subcommittee, forming the subcommittees and moving forward at that time. So there was no intent to say that we're specifically, there's no intent to say that we were specifically, moving forward specifically on just the RFP or that we have progressed further than what this committee knows about, because that was not the intent. I can guarantee that. It was more of a wide range intent, or a wide range description of where we stand and, what we're moving towards.
Okay, well, I was just baffled by that statement. And maybe it was taken out of context or it was incomplete. Perhaps Erica at some point could clarify what she meant for the DEI committee at some later time. I would really appreciate knowing that. Because I believe that the trustees as a group contemplated that we would start with a request for a proposal and then move on to other things. I don't know whether the Board of Trustees fully understands where we are in our progress and what we've been doing. But at this point, without Erica there, I don't think we can make any progress. Hopefully she'll be prepared to respond at the next meeting.
Yes, and Glenn, if necessary, I would be glad to clarify that with the trustees as well, if there is some type of miscommunication or confusion as to where exactly the committee stands. I can assure you that was not her intent to say that, but if it by some way got communicated that way, I'd be glad to straighten it out with the trustees.
Well, that would be appreciated, because I think as the statement stands in the minutes, it's simply not true. It is misleading.
I'll be glad to do it.
Thank you, Ken.
Is there anyone else that wishes to address the advisory group? Okay. Do you want to take a minute to introduce Brian?
Yes, that was the next step. So, as you may or may not know, we have been in the process of the trustees, have been in the process of hiring a new village administrator. So we have done that. And part of his mission is to be on our committee as a chairperson. So I'll let him introduce himself, tell you his background. But I'd like you all to welcome our new village administrator, Brian Murphy.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much. Is it okay if I stand? Just bad habit. Sorry, I'm a former university professor, so if you put me in a classroom, I feel like I need to stand. So again, my name's Brian Murphy, and thank you, Ken and Lisa, for having me here, and all of you for having me here. It's a real pleasure to be part of the this organization, this community. River Forest is just a beautiful and fantastic place, and I'm glad to be part of the greater team and organization. So a little bit of my background. I have professionally 29 years of local government management experience. Prior to that, I had 4 years as an auditor for the state of Michigan. I used to audit the horse tracks for the state of Michigan. I know, don't get too excited. That's how I started my career. And then as well, I was a professor for 9 years teaching both leadership and statistics. So that's a little bit about me professionally. Personally, I have 4 wonderful children, 3 of whom like me at any given time, so I'm still ahead of the curve. And one who, well, he's a great kid. So in any event, I'm very blessed with my children. And that's really where I like to spend most of my time, is actually with my family, just the quiet time.
Question?
Yes, Robert?
Is this a kind of a pro forma practice that we receive the new people that become top dogs or whatever you want to call it? And my question actually has to do with, what do you expect to get out of your presence here in these committee meetings?
So, so as part of the creation of the of this group, I'm automatically named as one of your co-chairpersons, along with Ken and Erica. So that's why I'm here tonight, and so as of right now, I'm looking forward to getting to know a little bit more about the committee, and then as well, we'll be getting into later on a breakdown from your last committee meeting with regard to the 7 different committee structures, and the whole idea is to have a conversation around that, and hopefully between Ken and Lisa and I will help facilitate that conversation.
So we're just going to learn together.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any questions? I want to also take a second to say thank you to Lisa, because she's been very instrumental in helping us get this thing going and started and providing us with a wealth of knowledge. I'm going to say it, but you tell me if I'm wrong. To my understanding, she would continue to be with us for a little bit while we're ramping up. I don't want to get myself talking.
Absolutely. So I returned to my position as the Assistant Village Administrator. I was very pleased to welcome Brian. He's been with us for about a month and a half, and we're all very much enjoying working with him, and I'm confident you will be very happy to work with him as well. Part of my job is to help every member of our team be successful, Brian included, and I certainly want to see the chair people be successful, and I certainly want to see this group be successful. I've really enjoyed getting to know everybody and learn a lot about your different perspectives that you bring to the table. This work is important to me as well. And so even though my role is a little different than it was a few months ago, my commitment to this group, while I may not necessarily be present for every meeting, my commitment to doing this work on behalf of the organization and the community will not change. So thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
I read more than what you said today in the article.
Well, speaking of articles, so if you don't mind, I'd like to just quickly, I mean, this is like, it falls under new business, so I'd like to give not only a congratulations to Lisa, but congratulations to the entire group. I'm not sure if you guys know or saw the packet, but our group, all of us, have been nominated and, to my understanding, received the Villager of the Year by the Wednesday Journal. Which is every year, and maybe Lisa, you can help me with exactly what they do, but every year, sometimes it's just an individual, sometimes it's a committee. Our group was nominated among other groups as well, and to my understanding, because they never directly say we totally got it, but we believe we won the Villager of the Year. So you'll see the article was attached in your notes. Go ahead, Mindy, I don't want to cut you.
Are we going to get a certificate?
I don't know. That's a great question. If not, we can print our own.
Fantastic question. Yes.
Suitable for framing.
Right. Otherwise, I'll print you guys
something. About reduction of taxes.
There.
I like that, Robert. Lisa sent the article out, and it was a very good article, and I think it highlighted some areas of opportunity for this group to pursue. At the same time, I feel like I'm in Little League baseball all over again. And we got a trophy for participation, not for any accomplishments. And so I would challenge this group to make sure that we get some accomplishments on the board so we actually earn it next year.
Yeah. I think it was, like you're saying, it was a lot about forward thinking and what we're, you know, attempting to accomplish. Myself, Erica, a couple other members from this group participated in the article, so thank you guys for all of that. And I agree, we now we're out there, so now we have to deliver, right? So I truly think this group will. So congratulate yourself for that real quick. I will print out Villager of the Year certificates for everyone. okay, so in regards to tonight, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Are you going to give Robert a tax decrease?
Me? Yes, I'm working on that.
All right.
Actually, just for the record, I say this all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Appeals, appeals were due January 4th, so I'm going to, you know, that's going to be my mission as a trustee, make sure everybody appeals going every year, so you always hear that from me, just so we know. Tonight's meeting, I'd like to just schedule a little differently. So, you know, usually it's our plan to have the business side and then a portion towards education. We had attempted to have someone appear from Flossmoor, correct?
So formerly the assistant manager in Flossmoor, who's now the village manager in Wakanda.
Yeah, so she was the diversity head for her community village. And, you know, I want you guys to hear what they went through just to kind of see what we're doing and what, and maybe ask her questions or whatever. But unfortunately, she couldn't appear tonight. So we're going to save that for another time. With that also in mind, with regard to education, you know, we've gone back and forth on who should do it and what should we do. So I don't know if it's going to be this meeting or not, but I would like to get input on what you guys would like to see education-wise. Because we really do, it's all about us. It's not about any one individual. So if we can develop a list, we can actually go down that list and try to have individuals speak, make sure that they're relevant to whatever discussion we're currently working on, and then, you know, continue on our onward journey towards the education part as well as towards the business part. So I would ask you, feel free to send emails, which I understand this group is not scared to do, so that's great. But feel free to send emails on what you'd like to see on the educational part, and we're going to work to try to do it. And it may not happen immediately, but we are going to work to try to do it for you guys. So please feel free to do that. And then lastly, we may end early tonight, I don't know, but I'd like to structure tonight's meeting specifically to hear, I don't want to use the word bucket, to you. So we, after the last meeting, we were charged with trying to, I don't want to use simplify, but develop a list of categories, okay? And so what I'd like to do tonight is, you know, the goal is that out of these categories, subgroups will be formed, correct? And so, but in order for the subgroups to have something to do in a charge, I'd like to use this time for us all to go through each and every bullet point, category, bucket, and talk about what we think that involves. And if there's something that you feel we're missing, feel free to let us know. However, I will say that, you know, part of tonight is just to gather ideas, so no idea is incorrect, and then no idea, if you may feel that some idea fits in another box, feel free to say it, but let's try to, we might list it anyway, and it'll be on the subcommittee to help define what that group actually is. But as a big group, I'd like for us to take a moment and Zoom committee, I'm going to see if we can use this thing to point to the different areas of the board so you can see what we're talking about. But this, we're going to use this time to break down each and every section and allow you guys to list us what you think that should entail. And once again, I'm going to say this is not the end all be all, but this is just for us to brainstorm so that we can try to get moving in the right direction. Does anybody have any objection with that?
So the other thing I'm doing too, just for those of us who are joining us on Zoom, if you can't see the board, it is in the meeting minutes, the 7 items on page 3 in the meeting minutes, but I'm also putting it in the chat so that you all have it right there at your fingertips. And for those of you who are on Zoom, Ken, do we want to allow a certain amount of time for them to?
Yeah, and like I said, we can point that thing. I don't know if that'll help or not, but that thing can point to the board.
They'll have it in the chat. So what I'll have to do is go grab Fabian in a minute and see if he can work the audio so that we can give the group on Zoom a little bit of time to talk, and we'll give the group in the room a little bit of time to think and reflect and talk. So just give me 1 minute to finish typing this list.
And then Brian's going to help us with leading the discussion.
No, you didn't, but that's okay. Thanks, boss.
Yeah. So that, you know, we're able to get everything on. So, like, any ideas would be accepted. But
when it comes to employment, for instance, do we know which services and their staff are actually accountable to the trustees board?
Yeah, so I'd say two things to that. One, save it for employment. And then two, you know, you're right, and we should define that when we get to the employment section, because that's important, right? You know, the overall goal of the DEI committee is to, you know, hopefully try to use what we are doing to help, you know, River Forest moving forward. And, you know, we're hoping that through our committee, we're also able to assist in that. So that's, you know, we're not obviously a group that's formed to create standards by which they have to respond to, but only by, you know, suggestions. So
what I meant with that question is more like, is the police force directly accountable to the trustees?
Right. So
are the schools and their staff directly accountable? In other words, are they subjects for us to approach and begin to work with? Other than generics, in the office, you go to the office and you see these desks and different places and names of different kinds of services. And those are more or less, in my mind, directly accountable to the trustees. And that seems to me beginning. We need to know so we don't start relating or trying to deal with parts of the whole structure that we're not going to be able to even, you know,
so to
dialogue
that,
with.
So to that, there's the what I refer to as the 7 categories that we are responsible for. And I simplify it by saying when you turn it on, it comes out clean. When you flush it, it goes away. When you drive on it or walk on it, it's clean and passable, so roads. If you put it at the curb, we pick it up. If you dial 3 magical numbers, somebody answers and somebody shows up. Those are the 5 big ones that we do. And then there are I say 2 regulatory, but there's actually 3 regulatory, but they all fit within the same bucket. Before you build it, while you build it, and after it's built. So building, planning, and code enforcement. So police, fire, ambulance, dispatch indirectly fits us. Rubbish is contracted out, but it still is an important function that we control. And then public works. Those are our key areas that we focus in on.
Okay.
That's helpful.
Okay.
To talk about making the phone calls to fire and police, I get that. But I'm thinking of the article in the Wednesday Journal They talked about opportunities that we have, and I'm not exactly sure, you know, what you mean by this. And the one thing that comes to mind is there's a belief, kind of, everybody kind of knows it, that there's a higher number of black people stopped in town by the police. So I'm not even sure what you, where would that fall in these areas? And because that's something we either need to figure out or we need to dispel.
So here's what I would respond to that, if I can. I would say that would fall under community outreach. So we want to, you know, continue, like, okay. It could be like, let's say community outreach came and that was my issue, let's say. I would tell the community outreach, I'd like you to look into that or whatever. So I think that's where it would fall under. So I'd like us to be, I don't want to say the word vague, but like cast the net wide enough that even the subgroups or even as this group, we can define it down versus starting at the.
So would it be inappropriate for you just at least to give a brief description of what these seven things mean to you guys when you put them together?
So to go to that, so this seven group, this list of seven was actually something that the advisory group in your last session brainstormed and coalesced around these areas and ideas. And so that's why it's actually coming back to you, is to talk about the coalescing of these thoughts and ideas and where our conversations take place within those coalesced comments.
There was no coalescing about it, so that's comical.
So Brian, you were going to facilitate this. Do you think we should just get started? I think
yes.
Once we kind of start throwing ideas out, it'll start to take shape.
Get her, and then I agree.
I was just going to say, yeah, we talked about these things at the last, one of the last meetings, and it's here in the minutes from here in the packet.
So no, I agree with that. It probably fits into the first one, governance and review. They were dictated to us. We did not coalesce around anything. But I appreciate that.
Yeah, but we did talk about it.
Well, we talked about a lot of stuff that never gets to any conclusion.
Well, if there's anything that you'd like to add on the board, feel free to, you know, we're just trying to work together to try to get it done.
I mean, I think nothing, there's going to be things that don't fit perfectly in one of these. They kind of are going to go across them. So I think if we just start gathering it, we'll start to see where.
Yeah, let's go.
What we're missing, too.
Yeah,
like,
let's go.
In terms of ideas.
All right. Okay. So you want to start with, which way you want to go?
We'll go 1 through 7. Since that's how the minutes were put together, that's okay.
So I'll monitor the Zoom, and you all can see it here. I'll try to watch for hands up.
Yep.
If there are any of you on the Zoom call that have a thought you would want to add, please don't hesitate to drop it in the chat. And I will, they can see things up here, but we'll just make sure we try and cover all of our bases here.
And then if somebody has an idea that doesn't quite fit and don't know, can we parking lot those?
That's a great idea.
Absolutely.
Point of information. Do you have access to an organization or church where the village is, you know, taking a snapshot of what the place looks like?
An organizational church.
And then there maybe we begin to say, okay, this relates to employment, this, and so we will have more of a sense of direction. The other thing that we need is, what are the objectives? Are we trying to set up some general principles of, you know, assessment of these different categories, or do we have a set of principles and statements that are aimed at focusing our discussion? For instance, rather than coming out with names of groups, maybe we need to begin by agreeing on the use of the sentence people of color and language, rather than say black, brown, The other is, what do we expect to, what are we going to do if we find not much, you know, that we can work with? Are we going to come up with recommendations, actions that lead toward correcting the, you know, the defects of our chart and on the basis of what we have learned, inclusivity, et cetera, is about?
Yeah.
Or are we just going to, you know, suggest?
So I guess I would respond to say, you know, your first statement revolves around gathering data, which my assumption would be that once we get the groups will say, here's the information I need to get to that point. And then, you know, we keep dialing down from there. So I'd like to, like, get them all on the board, and then the groups will say, you know, like, because you're right, there's a lot of data gathering that needs to happen, and you need to know what we can do and what we can't do and how it reflects on the board. But let's first talk about what everybody feels this is, and then let the small groups help refine it, because it has to be refined for sure.
Sure.
So
that's okay.
All right, go ahead.
Actually, you stole half of my thunder, because that was actually something of the lead-in that I was going to try to get to, which is talking. The whole idea for today is let's take a larger picture, come up with, within each of these areas, are there things in particular that rise to the top when you think of these categories? What does it mean to you? If you were engaged with this as a subgroup, what would you want to see this group take on in many respects? So as we take a look at the RFP consultant and the notes from our minutes, right, it says that the idea is to create a timeline, review RFPs, and draft an RFP to select a consultant that will perform the work identified by the advisory group in accordance with its goals and responsibilities. So what does that look like for you? I'm brand new. I literally am brand new. So here's the fun part. You're teaching me as much as anything else. So think of it in terms of that. And please don't think you're wasting your time by this being an Educate Brian moment, because that's not what this is really about. But think of it in that kind of terms. So this is brand new for all of us. What does that look like? When we met the last time and there was some discussion around it, what were the ideas that came to mind?
Okay, let me shoot one. In relating to the RFP, I want to make sure that there's a personnel committee that will be doing interviews that is mixed.
Yep.
Start right from the beginning. All the voices will be heard.
So when you say mixed, Bob, you mean inclusive and representative? Yeah, okay. We'll give Brian a second to write, and then I see, Chris, you've got your hand up on Zoom. I'll call you in just 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, Chris Johnston?
Yeah, it seems to me, and I'll try to speak up because I'm having a little trouble hearing those people on Zoom. It seems to me that number one, hiring a consultant, which I think was contemplated in this enabling legislation that I read from last year, should be the singular thing we do first, because we're going to have a consultant walk us through this, guide us through this, help us through this. They're going to help us through numbers 2 through 7. And so we really have to cover, at least it looks like to me, to get our consultant on board. So and nothing against the people that are chairing this now, but if we really are going to hire a consultant to do this, we shouldn't be bringing in the consultant while we're dispersed out in other groups that the consultant isn't going to find out about until later on. So that's my thought about prioritizing, perhaps.
Point of information. Is there already kind of a, you know, outline and description of the job?
No.
Yeah. Well, there is.
We need to work on that.
Well, there's the goals, responsibilities that were adopted by the board and included in every, in the last several DEI meeting packets.
So that's where I would have more guidance to talk about.
I mean, one of the first things that we need to do is we need to create that structure, the framework for what we're asking of our consultants. But what are we going to put into the RFP? And it comes from our guiding document, but there's probably more to it than just this page and a half. That's too broad, it's not focused. We need to get a little deeper so that we can use the village's money as effectively as possible through this process.
And if anybody needs a copy, there's an extra meeting packet up at the table there that should have the goals and responsibilities attached to it.
Having written many RFPs, the one of the most salient points of an RFP is a statement of the problem and a definition of the project. And I'm not sure as a group we have fundamentally defined the project. In the resolution and in the mission statement, we talk about barriers, but then other people talk about systemic oppression, and I don't think we know enough to say that is the statement of problem. So I want to make sure in the selection of a consultant that we have a very balanced group of a group or consultants that want to help us understand what the barriers are and not automatically jump to oppression and dominance and racism. Thank you.
This is an area that could use some education. Like, I'm sure there's, you know, consultants out there that do this with suggested approaches. But I think as we share some of those ideas, I think people could kind of get their head around.
I don't know how to raise my hand, but I'm on Zoom. But typically, a consultant, in my thinking anyway, in would start developing metrics. I mean, they wouldn't jump into, you know, systemic racism, colonialism, things of that. But they would say, how many, number two, how many people of color are working within the village? How many women are in leadership positions? How much spend on number three are diverse suppliers? How many women-owned suppliers do you have? What's the cost savings that you have on purchasing per year? So they would just start putting metrics into place to hit some of these. I don't think you jump into some, historical precedent, but you just kind of start laying out metrics on how you're going to measure success. And like on two, three, four, even like housing, what's affordable housing, what percentage, you start putting up just metrics that we all can kind of aspire to reach.
Farzad, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thanks. Just wanted to double check.
Who is it?
Farzad.
Khorzad.
Khaledon, who's on the group.
Yeah. I do supplier diversity at work, too, so I'm sorry, am I muddling?
Oh, no. That's okay, Farzad.
The issue of diversity in ages. Age of people in this community. It's a key thing that I have found in other situations. Us old folks end up making all this.
For those of you who are in the room, if we could just ask you to speak up as loud as possible. For those of you who are on Zoom, if you're not actively speaking, if you could please remember to mute your line. And for everyone, we do have the live transcript closed captioning on, which does a pretty good job of catching all of the audio in the room with some higher level of accuracy. So if you're having trouble hearing, please feel free to use the closed captioning feature to help pick up on the discussion in the room.
Are we going to get guidance on how to do an RFP? I know there are people in this room, like Mindy, who know how to do that, but would we expect to get that from you guys, or would we expect that people who already know how to do that?
I would hope that the committee would do the due diligence and what it takes.
And to keep things as is, but you've got colleagues that are.
Got it. No, I was on the Zoom call.
Definitely look into making sure that we not only discuss with people that have familiarity, but also with the village to determine what the process and guidelines are. So I would say that maybe just the understanding of.
Yeah. Where the guidance comes from, are you expecting that the whoever's on the committee knows how to do an RFP?
No.
Okay. Yeah, no. We can get creating the framework that goes on to that. What are the details of that? That would be the charge of the group developing and actually writing the RFP. Will all this. Okay, let's move on to employment and HR, if that's okay. We can always go back if you had a thought later on and you say, hey, this drawn on me, send Brian back to another board. I'm good with that. You're good with that. So on the employment in HR, as we mentioned before, so this is, as it's written in the minutes, examine these matters as they relate to the village as a municipal employer. So this now gets into, I think, the question that was kind of being asked, whether it goes on community outreach. So here under us as an employer and those kind of questions and thoughts and ideas. So if you were involved on this particular subgroup, what are the areas that you would think are things we should review, consider, discuss what was discussed previously, whether coalesced around or not coalesced around, but just consider previously what falls within this group.
I want to start with Robert's comment. Development of the committee's, I won't use the word scope, but the committee's power or scope to do anything, you know. So am I following you, Robert? One of the things you were talking about is developing of the scope of DEI's, I can't use the word power, DEI's
authority.
Yeah. So development
scope
of
scope or purview is appropriate.
As clear an identification of the subjects as possible. In terms of, you know, categories of going to relate questions.
I mean, I think we'd want to look at every part of the life of the employee, right? Like hiring, what are perhaps the policies around that? How do we onboard people? How do we manage them? How do we motivate them? How do we discipline them out of the organization?
Exactly what you just said, the metrics with all of that. So your applicant flow, your hiring ratios, all the data, your available applicant pool, all of that.
I feel like this committee could also serve as a resource for the village. For the kind of situations where, you know, looking to gather information about a particular area or topic or something where it doesn't rise to the level of like needing to hire a consultant, but not having the time internally to do the research necessary to sort of answer the question. You know, you take it to the things like, hey, we're thinking about doing something like this, or A,
you're like collecting information on these types of things, can you apply everything on it, or is this something, give us some ideas. I'll get back, and sometimes I think people are just looking for, more information on things that, may not be readily available.
Following up on that too, I think perhaps understanding where there are gaps in knowledge or understanding of like an employee based on this issue, and then training.
Assessment and training.
Yes.
Anybody on the big board?
Is there anyone on Zoom who has any thoughts on this issue before we move on to the next one? Or do you think we've covered it?
Robert, could we include a picture of salaries and benefits?
Yeah, I would put that within your metrics. I would put that within your metrics. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I think that would fit in.
Well, if you add hiring, onboarding, and compensation.
I mean, I think there's something to, given how we structure work within, is there a way that we could structure work that we would be able to hire different types of people? Like maybe sometimes, flexibility is a big thing, right? Sometimes when you have certain kind of hours and things, there's a whole group of people that cannot be included in that process.
I call that just work life.
Yeah.
The whole idea is work-life balance, that sometimes how we traditionally look to hire is around a very traditional model, and that doesn't necessarily fit with different work-life preferences, and that we might be able to open ourselves up to other employment opportunities if we were at like job sharing, right, as some people call it, or work-life.
Sometimes when you're looking to hire from groups that you haven't traditionally hired from, there's an opportunity to manage that higher structure and things like internships or work study or different ways that people can sort of learn about what's going on in their organization and how they might become part of it. So I think there could be an opportunity.
What is the pattern of evaluation and assessments of performance in the area?
I couldn't hear what the people in the room were saying. Could you speak up when you're making comment? I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Lisa, maybe
you
can repeat what was said just so you can get picked up just in case.
Sure. The other thing we'll do too after this conversation is we'll take pictures of the board, we'll memorialize this in the minutes and share that with the group.
Maybe if you wouldn't mind, Lisa, before we move on to the next group, reading them to the,
sure.
So that they, just in case they have final thoughts on this, and that they can hear what they are. So.
Sure, so I'll just recap the first two categories first. Under RFP consultant, the note is inclusive/mixed committee to review. And then another point raised was making sure that the group is inclusive of age groups as well. That this particular item should be the first priority of the group, develop an outline for the RFP,
create a structure and framework for the RFP and the type of work that the consultant will tackle, as well as how an RFP is created. So some education about what the village's requirements are and how these documents are structured and drafted. A statement and definition regarding, let me go back to my notes on that.
Statement of problem.
Oh, statement of problem. Thank you. Definition, a balanced definition of what the problem is. And then utilizing objective measures and metrics to measure success. Are there any other comments from the people who are on Zoom before regarding RFP consultant before I move on to employment HR real quickly? Okay, so.
Question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are the people on the board able to see what is written?
No, they're not. So that's why I'm rereading.
Can we send some snapshots to them?
I can do that in just a moment, but I can't send photos via Zoom. Yeah, so we'll share photos after. That's why I'm just running them down the list here.
At least to be clear.
Well, I'll take pictures at the end of the meeting and we'll share it with the group. Sure. And then under employment HR, the comments are DEI scope, particularly regarding employee questions, examining the village's processes and procedures with regard to hiring, onboarding, compensation, work-life balance, training and supervision, an overall review of the village's, like I said, policies, practices, and procedures, metrics and ratios, examining essentially what the employee demographics are and what some of the data is related to them, related to the organization. This group could act as a research resource to the village and help the village evaluate different strategies or programs that it's planning to offer, identifying gaps in, so basically conducting a gap assessment in employee knowledge and providing training to close that gap, examining innovative recruitment techniques, whether it's how jobs are structured or how employees are trained to introduce them to the profession or make them qualified for jobs in the future. So examining our recruiting procedures as well. And then the last comment was with regard to performance evaluations, patterns of evaluation and assessments of employee performance and examining what that program looks like for the village.
Could we add one? A list of organizations or groups that provide people to be considered for hiring. What do you call that? Who are we using to find candidates?
Staffing consultants.
Yeah. Point persons.
So that last comment was about examining who the village is utilizing to source talent.
Are there any other thoughts regarding employment / HR related ideas? Okay, let's move on to purchasing and suppliers. In our minutes, we state that this area is to examine the vendors that provide services, vendor relationships, and opportunities for supplier diversity. So goals and objectives, thoughts and ideas that have been considered or you think should be considered by this group?
I think Cosette said he does this for a living. So I'd like to get his thoughts first because he could help us move through this quickly.
Farzad, are you, can you hear us? I had to mute you, but you can unmute yourself. We'll give Farzad a minute to rejoin us.
Okay. While we wait for him, any other thoughts?
I think we should take a look at the landscape of our current supplier, get a sense of what we're doing currently.
Can I clarify that? You mean who the village contracts with?
Yes. Our current village supplier.
So if you're on a approved list at the village to do construction.
I think those are two different.
Yes, I'm adding to that.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, in addition, what's our RFP language? Village policies on how they recruit members, they have to get screened bid, you take a rose bid, all of that sort of stuff.
I could have been figured out. What was it?
Bidding process.
Okay.
So, for example, if it's under a certain dollar threshold, we only need to do X. If it's above another threshold, we have to do Y. Z. When does it go to the board for consideration?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's great from a dollar standpoint, but I'd like to know what we expect of them by the diversity of their own businesses and other factors that we might want to include to reduce their, to enhance our portfolio of vendors.
DBE is disadvantaged business enterprise. It's a larger categorical group for minority and women-owned businesses. It's a technical
term. Thank you.
And this may fall under both intergovernmental relationships and purchasing, looking at our purchasing and supplier relationship with the village of Maplewood and our other stakeholders.
Right, IGA, which is intergovernmental agreements.
I'm thinking of a location of place of business.
Geographically?
Community, yeah, community that are close by the community over, I guess, next state.
I think it'd be worthwhile looking at our relationship and those paths which we had with all of our neighbors that we have in common in the same with. So.
Right.
There's those paths in those relationships.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it falls into this bucket or if it should be in the parking lot.
It can be a boat.
But
both the parking lot. I'm sorry.
Why do people come here to do business, to start a business and to conduct business, shopping? How do we get our hands around? Are we friendly to that? Are we not friendly to that?
Oh, okay.
I'd like to know why people are starting and doing business in the forest.
Does that mean coming and not coming? So businesses are coming to our forest, and why aren't businesses coming in?
Or do they choose to shop in, yes, to your answer, but do they choose to shop at Oak Park or, you know, go to the city or go on Amazon? Do they like to come here and shop? And if so, why? And if not, why not?
Okay. And that does kind of fit in here. It kind of doesn't fit in here.
It might be a parking lot bucket.
Could be a parking lot bucket thing. It could fit somewhere else. It's an interesting thought.
Okay.
This might be repeating what many said, I'm not sure if it's back down at an enterprise level, but I'm thinking of it more within the supplier or vendor, within a supplier yourself. So, you know, in situations where, you know, you already have your vendors in place, you have contracts with them, you know, taking the, you know, even using those opportunities to encourage, whatever the right word is,
attract.
Yeah, and you know, their internal, you know, like, what are they doing internally to make sure that they're kind of, you know, you know, accomplish some of the same goals that this committee, whatever those goals may be, decides to work toward, so that, you know, you're working as alignment. There's a lot of times money talks, and if you, you know, say you'd like to see this, they encourage to.
Incentivize.
Thank you. That is the word.
What was the word you used?
Incentivize.
Yep.
The village's length of contractual agreements.
Metrics again.
Yeah.
You're the metrics guy.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, and reauthorization process.
Yes.
No.
Oh, great. Really good. Thank you.
Well, I was just thinking about the business issue. It's a little different because it's not internal. You know, it's more external than purchasing with suppliers. But along with that, there are all the village policies on what kind of business system can have and the zoning regulations.
Yep.
And the philosophy or policy of the board on what we want to attract. And so that all
I think that even, you know, gets into just all kinds of things that is an easier hurt for certain people to be resident, like getting a pet license, getting a driver's license. You know, like I think looking at all of that.
Oh, that's just doing business, that's the rest being a resident.
Yeah.
That's just not a different category of purchasing. Which some of that development, community, you know, vibe stuff don't just end up being outreach.
Yeah.
Shopping and doing business in the workforce. I think it's got to be a separate bucket. We need to understand that. And two, I mean, housing is a great, I don't want to rush over there, but housing is a great bucket. But it's broader than housing. It's living in the workforce. Whether you're a student, you're a renter, you want a home, I mean, it's like, how, what's the experience of people that live here? So it's over on that one, but I think they got to be, that one's got to be broader. In my opinion, but I don't get to decide. I'm saying I think we ought to agree. Do I get to put a motion? Can I do that? Or
well,
let's wait. I don't care. I'm not even gonna do it. I just think there's got to be, got to look at all of that. Who do we get to come in here and with our zoning? I mean, how do we do that? And then I'm going to go over there and say, how do people, not just housing, how do people like living? Why do people come here? What's their experience? It's got to be bigger than housing.
Let's hold that one. Let me finish this one here. You're getting excited. I love it. You're getting ahead of me, though, just a little bit.
One more. That goes clearly over here.
Yep.
It has to do with the level of giving back that purchasers and suppliers express to support community. Giving the foundations that are based here, costs of the design system. How much do they bring back?
I'm going to walk you off that ledge just a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Then we get into a whole different issue of patronism and ethics laws and the like. I think you need to be, reinvestment's a little different, but to require them to make donations to causes, people have gone to jail for stuff like that. And I don't look good in orange. So, I'm Irish, I green all the way. Okay, anything else here? Good start. Okay, all right.
Is there anything else from the people that we have on Zoom that would like to add to purchasing and suppliers?
Yeah, I was going to say that some of what I heard seemed to me to fit under community outreach, like why people would shop in River Forest or what brings them to the village, as opposed to purchasing and suppliers. That to me seemed pretty limited to the village as a purchaser, just like employment is the village as an employer, right? To be pretty limited in this, in that scope, or maybe I'm wrong, but.
I think you're right. I would also say that they can go in both boxes because that sentence fits both situations. So we should probably have them in both, but it might end up, landing in the very end in just one. But
I want to go with the parking lot.
Yeah, parking lot.
True. There are going to be intersections of these, right? There's no, completely, black or white, but because the intergovernmental relationship, I think, also comes into play in the purchasing and suppliers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So.
Very true.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, so why don't I just do a quick recap of the purchasing and supplier list, understanding that there may be some issues that we decide to split out into a different category or absorb in another, but just let's recap it real quick. The landscape of current village suppliers, an approved list of who can do business in River Forest, language that the village includes in its RFPs, what is the village's bidding and procurement process, and the process of reauthorizing vendors, disadvantaged business enterprise requirements to enhance portfolio, partnerships with Maywood and other neighboring communities, including through intergovernmental relationships as it relates to procurement, the geographic location of our vendors, identifying what vendors are doing to diversify and potential incentives, looking at metrics, why are businesses starting and doing business in River Forest, and the zoning regulations relative to, I call it permitted uses, special uses, prohibited uses, and business attraction in River Forest. So that's the recap of that list. And next up is housing.
Housing. Right. Now within housing, we don't really give a to lead into that discussion. I'm guessing it's because it largely speaks on its own. However, if you were to be on that committee, right, what goals and objectives, what areas that you think need to be focused on, things that need to be considered, things that have been considered and discussed in the past. What are the efforts of this particular group?
Well, I think when you mentioned like permits, right? You gotta get permits, the whole permit process.
Permit process. Can I put on there including zoning?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we need a demographics deep dive here.
I'm sorry?
A demographics deep dive. So one of the things we know about River Forest is that we don't know a lot about the characteristics of people who are living in single family homes versus multi-family homes. Do they have the same needs? Are we looking for other things there? Are there barriers? So what do we have here in terms of our housing stock specifically? I was going to jump in with a related note and take Robert's stand by metrics. So not just the composition of the housing stock, and maybe paired even with tracking developments and permits coming in. So, you know, kind of a cyclical thing. What do we have and where is what kind of development is in the pipeline?
The village did an awful lot of work to develop a strategic plan. I think it was five or seven years.
Five. Strategic plan or comprehensive plan?
I think they called it comprehensive.
The comprehensive plan is what contemplates what the future of the community looks like.
So it was five, a comprehensive plan for a long time, like 5 years?
Typically 10 to 20.
Okay, long
range. Yes, you're right.
So I would like to say we ought to get educated. This would be a bucket I would like some education on. What were the inputs to that comprehensive plan? Why did they come up with the recommendations they did for zoning and all kinds of stuff? I think we need to have somebody give us insight to that. And secondly, I think we need to understand what the tax base is in River Forest to support other zoning or housing options. And then my last thing is the electrical and gas grid. We need to understand what that is, because I don't know what 15, 20 years ago, we stopped allowing what we used to call mother-in-law homes because the electrical grid could not support those kinds of things. So I'd like education on comprehensive plan.
Wait, hold on. What?
Just a minute.
Comprehensive plan.
What?
The electrical grid.
No. I stopped there a minute.
If not, that was changed in the affordable housing plan. The state of Illinois and the bill both changed ADU regulations. So it's not that there's any rules against
it. No, we need to be educated. I didn't say pro or con. We just need to be educated on all the progression that we've had to understand the zoning and the tax implications and the grid implications. I'm not going for a con yet.
That's fair.
So I want to ask this. You had a utility issue where we couldn't support granny apartments?
Allegedly.
That's an interesting one.
Allegedly.
Mother-in-law house, yes. Whatever you.
A home.
The Fonzie place.
No,
yes.
It was. And I think we still do, from a permit perspective. We prohibit permits to make garages into.
Yeah, that's something you're not wrong today, correct?
I would like us following what the new things to really look at our affordable housing plan.
Yep.
And especially there were several additions to the affordable housing plan at the end that I think have special relevance to this group. I'd like us to take a look at how we're implementing them and how we're operationalizing them as a village.
Well, the Yes. Operational.
I'm not sure which call this, but when we're trying to balance like commercial development and residential, and like we've sighed somewhat this time that we think some area would be better as commercial property, like how we go about dealing with the homeowners in those areas.
So you're saying the decision process in determining commercial versus residential and how it affects
sometimes the areas where we're doing that is where our housing is more
important. You're talking about the public hearing process. Yep.
I don't know if you guys name it.
I'm not tracking.
So if I were to come in and want to build a refinery next to your house, right? I'm going East Street because it isn't going to happen. But if I were to want to build a refinery next to you, and I'm looking to get a change in the zoning or even just to get a site plan approved, what happens is that fits into that whole zoning regulation process, which includes a public hearing requirement. And that public hearing is where
sometimes I feel like it's been the village, though. Like, so the development of Madison Street, where they wanted to take some homes to turn it into, right? And then kind of the whole process, lots of times those homes or apartments are some of our more affordable areas, right?
Yeah.
I think we just need to look at how we make those decisions and how we displace people.
May I just add, you're assuming that people were displaced. I would like to get some facts around if people were displaced, because I don't believe
that. I think we avoided that particular thing.
Yeah, so you said when we displaced, I think we need facts around did we displace. We haven't displaced anybody.
Okay, that's a discussion for that group.
Well, go metrics then, because it's got to be metric driven.
Yep, right.
There's
here.
A perception.
I got
and
you.
I don't believe that.
I got you. I do.
There's feedback from the people who live here. Why do they live here? And he's brought this up before. How does the education in the about often said that the schools are what bring people here? Why do they live here? How does that affect, what our job is? That sort of thing. I don't know if that fits in community outreach, but.
Parking lot.
So it's a personal responses versus just policies and theories.
Is our strategy to achieve village-wide comprehensive diversity. Is there a strategy?
If there is one, right?
For what?
Strategy to work on diversity in the whole village, not just.
We still talking about housing?
Not just allow the ghettoization to take place. So when I go up now.
Well, I would suggest there is a housing plan, whether we like it or not. There's a strategy around it. So I would. I like that. That what is it? Not that we don't have.
Yeah.
Great.
Just need to know.
Great.
I would tell me if we didn't already cover this, but I would like to call it a deep dive. I like that word. Deep dive into what, if any,
are the barriers for all diverse residents? So you know, I'm talking, you know, what are the barriers for elders? What are the barriers for minorities? You know, what are the barriers for housing? Like, educate ourselves as to what are the barriers that currently exist, if they do, that are preventing, that could prevent more diverse housing, and more diverse housing for your workforce.
Do you mean more diverse housing in terms of occupants or in terms of housing stock?
Occupants.
Okay.
And I think we ought to add dementia.
Yes.
And elderly.
Yes. The whole diverse category, diversity.
Yeah.
Disabilities.
Yeah. 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 The big opportunities.
Anyone else on Zoom have anything to add?
Yeah, I just was, I'd be curious about collecting both quantitative and qualitative data related to service access, or so, you know, there are the residents that live in River Forest, whatever their address may be, but who goes to the public library, who are going to the public schools, who go to the park, right? It's not that the village can oversee what happens in the school or what the park district does, but vis-a-vis housing and access to village services and amenities. Does that make sense? That's something that I'd be interested to, in that demographic deep dive, that would be, I'm not sure if that is data that is collected or who might collect it.
Community outreach?
Again, you know, what related to housing, this is access to housing and or what, you know, again, what are the goals for DEI here? Is it to diversify those who live in the village, those who own property in the village, those who partake in village life?
That's true. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else on Zoom? Okay, that was a great conversation. Any other thoughts on this? Okay, let's move over to community outreach.
For the sake of time, because we're at 8:30, and to try to get through the last three categories, if you need me to repeat what was discussed, let me know before we move on. If not, we'll go ahead and move on. And again, we're going to share all of this with the group after.
And if we really want to do it, you guys tell me if you're against it, but we could limit this to 10 minutes to make it through all three. That's too much. That's a problem.
Okay.
Each group has to be 10 minutes.
I'll be your timekeeper.
All right. Community outreach. Within this group, in our minutes, it states community education regarding the work of the advisory group, including two-way communication with the community, includes an examination of what it's like to live, shop, and work in River Forest. So that does grab a little bit of what was being suggested on our new bucket group. So that does kind of fit in there. So for the sake of making it easier, I'm going to scoop that up and put that over here. Does that sound good? Okay. So we'll take, which is, I'm just taking that bucket and splatting it up there, if that's okay. Great. Any other thoughts as you think about community outreach, the way it was described there, other thoughts as we've been discussing tonight, goals and objectives?
What about relationships now that we have this covenant with NAWIC and whatever, how does that work people to people. And like, there are there barriers to individuals in the reports and individuals in neighborhoods to interact or is that part of our job to doing racial reconciliation or any kind of diversity reconciliation in the process? I don't know. We're following that.
Is that a fair way to state it?
Well, it's not just individual. You want the community too,
right? But I thought I don't want to ignore.
Okay, all right.
What if I say?
No, she. We know.
Okay. Other thoughts?
Is this where we're going to put the? Police engagement.
What?
Police engagement.
Oh. Okay. Good one.
I know they have their own structure. As the community becomes more diverse, that impacts on school. So I'm wondering if that's part of interpersonal relationships, because you know there's things that we've talked about that we'd like to do in the parks. There's things we, you know, the next park district, school boards, we have library. I'm almost wondering if that's part of school, yeah. Another strategy.
Like so, the school. But D90 has a equity group and we have inclusiveness group. And I think that's like an outreach. When I think of intergovernment relationships, I think that's a legal interaction. I don't know, but I'm open for it either way. But yeah, I think somebody on this committee ought to be with D90. I think the park district ought to start one, but we have to have somebody outreaching to them to get them to do that. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities. I don't know how to formalize what bucket, but yeah, in the spirit of what, yeah, I think that's right.
There's overlap. Well, when you're somebody that lives here, you don't think like, oh, that's a part of, you know, you just think about
your community,
yeah. Right? And just because we've segmented it this way. You know?
Yeah. Right.
And I think just from a very bureaucratic standpoint, it could just be as simple as reaching out to the D90 DEI group to, you know, touch base you with their just a learning sharing of resources.
Yeah, I've been doing that the last little. Yeah, I agree with
the pipeline.
We think that we can all have that.
But you gotta, then you gotta do all the other ones. D200, the park, I mean, you gotta list all of them.
So all the tax providers?
No, the ones that have a group. So D200 has a group, D90 has a group. I think the township has a group now. I don't know about the park district.
There's not a group. I think probably the other tax
providers. Very good. Yes, the library. Good.
You know the day is getting long. I can feel it, but you guys are doing awesome. This is fantastic. Thank you. Any other thoughts on community outreach?
I'm raising my hand. I'd love to include what's it like to study in River Forest. We've got two universities. We have students coming from other parts of the country, other parts of the state, from around the city and other suburbs. They're residents, but they don't own property and they're not gonna buy property most likely, but you know, they add, and the universities, what, you know, what is that relationship? Not necessarily the intergovernmental one, but for the students at least.
Okay.
Currently, we have a village resolution to partner with the Dominican University on THRT.
THRT.
Yes.
TRH, Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation. It's,
sorry.
Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Dominican's framework for essentially, help me out. It's Dominican's framework, not just for DEI work, because that seems to boil it down. I think it's a little broader than that.
It's actually national. So yeah, it is Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation. So TRHT.
I participated in the 6th annual racial healing group today.
Oh, good.
And I think we ought to dissolve the resolution with this university. It was anti-constitutional, anti-American, and I am very disappointed in the speaker that they had today.
This one I just gonna throw out there for this community. What about the churches? You know, maybe there could be like, you know how you have a sister city somewhere? Maybe like there could be sister churches.
Oh my God, don't even here. Say that. You cannot label things feminine. Do not do that. Oh, you're very bad.
Can I suggest that sort of
Yeah, we've got 2 minutes left if we're keeping time.
All of that could go under a broader umbrella of we're not going to overtake, obviously, all of the services and resources that community groups, you know, whether it's a church or a, you know, other person that are not for profit or providing, but are there ways just to have that conversation and to I think it probably would be more bureaucratic process. Is there, are there resources the village has that could be of benefit to the community? Is there a way to, you know, be part of a conversation about what the needs in the community are? What, you know, can it be a source of information for us about the needs in the community that we can then respond to? I think it's more of a conversational, probably, concept.
I'm sorry, but if you participated in the Zoom meeting today with Dominican, then Dr. Williams would have told you that all religions, especially the Protestant one, are completely overridden by white male racism.
We've got one minute left. Let's change it. Let's not talk about churches. Let's talk about stakeholders. Let's identify our stakeholders. Stakeholders, okay. And stakeholders, we've got lots of them. And now, as we conclude, inclusivity outreach or community events.
All right, next time. All right, intergovernmental relations.
Intergovernmental relations. All right, under intergovernmental relations. Relationships with other agencies in and outside of the village, particularly those with DEI processes and initiatives, includes exploration of the Twin Village Covenant with Maywood and the connection with the Dominican University TRHT framework. Yes, I'll put your asterisks over there. Yes.
Please.
Yeah. Thoughts, ideas, considerations on what falls within this I know we kind of have hit on it in other places, like we just mentioned. There are a couple of others that were mentioned earlier that you thought could transfer over. Just assume that Lisa is going to use her superpowers and take those and transfer them where they need to be cross-pollinated. And we'll get that out to you guys to consider. What wasn't discussed earlier, any other thoughts with regard to intergovernmental relationships that we want to pick up on?
I just want to add education into the taxing bodies and their inclusivity efforts. Not that we can necessarily do anything about it, but we should know what they're doing.
County of the township, the state, for that matter.
Specifically under the township, taxing, because they're the ones that control that. And under the county, I would say these vaccination mandates. I've never seen something in my adult life that excluded so many people, brown and black, from public life.
There might be room under the plenty for a different kind of gap assessment if there isn't a relationship or cooperation and the reason why, so how are we perceived among our surrounding governmental entities.
I actually do have one. tying into that, we've discussed, or has come up in several meetings, the Twin City Covenant that we have with Maywood, but I don't think we've ever really, I don't particularly know what defines it or what that partnership or that alliance is supposed to be. So is it something just in name, or is it actually tangible, something that's functioning and something that we're actually putting energy into?
Okay, sir.
Yes.
Liz on Zoom mentioned making sure that we include other neighboring communities, including Oak Park, Berwyn, Elmwood Park, et cetera. So neighboring communities.
Oak Park, Berwyn.
Forest Park, Elmwood Park.
Forest Park.
I'm not sure if it falls here or not, but the lack of I don't know what to call it. The lack of incarceration or prosecution of carjackings, of assaults, gun fires, the level of crime is going up, and it is all in this idea of justice, social justice,
and it makes our quality of life go down. And I'd like some metrics around that. And I'd like to understand what we're doing as a village to work for or against or with this increasing crime-ridden situation we're in.
I would kind of tend to disagree with that. I think that's probably subsumed within, I think our police department is working on, maybe they is understanding the task forces and intergovernmental relationships that our police department participates in as part of that cooperative approach to crime, sure, but I don't know that.
No, I'm talking about the prosecution, more or less. I mean, you know, you can have some kid that uses a gun to steal your car, and he gets 14 points before he goes to jail.
So that's generally up there to the county?
Well, that's what I'm saying, in a government relationship. I'd like to understand what the heck's going on.
I would just like to say that I would like to know actually what you're saying.
Yeah, so we're going to cover it under metrics.
Metrics.
Instead of saying that we are, I'd like to understand the facts.
What do I say that's incorrect?
Well, let's not get into a debate about that right now. Let's
That's hilarious.
How am I on time?
We've got a little less than 3 minutes left.
Okay.
We'll go to the next section.
Any other thoughts on this? Any other thoughts on intergovernmental relationships?
I don't think you put TRHT directly under that, so I would just add that there because.
What the asterisk is for? Yes.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, thanks.
That's the, I'm saving my time the with writing right now, Lisa. Thank you for catching that. Yes. Yep. Okay. See, I've got Ken in frame, so that should work well. Okay. Governance and creation of a DEI review framework for matters that come before the village. Thoughts, ideas, goals, and objectives. What do you think the role of this committee is?
I have no flipping idea with that, how that ever made it into the discussion. We elect representatives that are our governance. So I don't know how we would ever insert ourselves into anything other than to be a...
I'm going to give a thought and an idea, and I don't know.
You need to put down what I just said, and then you can judge me. But no, I think it's we are being a mite on the government of this village. And I mean MITE.
It's process, so we have these subgroups, which is great, but I think maybe it's every subgroup then, when they have something to share with the committee, maybe giving a presentation and our group as a whole making a recommendation then to the village board, a process for moving things up the pipeline. My thought was that the desire is to have this group all of the information we collect, all of the sum we come up to, on an ongoing basis to do some review, come up with some advice for the board so that they can come to this advisory group and say, are we doing with this? Did you give us some feedback? We don't have any authority to make any decisions, but we're just an advisory group spending time on this kind of thing so that they can have that information going forward.
I'm very similar to what Nancy just said. When I hear governance, I kind of feel like, you know, we do all this hard work and then we make changes, and then how do we keep those changes alive and how do we keep that moving out? What are our guardrails to keep those where it has guardrails?
Yes, my penmanship gets worse as I go along.
Do you want me to take over, Brian?
Nope, okay. We're good.
Erica is an exceptional trustee, but she's one trustee. And nobody intends this group to go on in perpetuity. And Ken, if you believe that, then I'd like you to bring that before the village board of trustees and see if they want this to go on in perpetuity.
Well, there's been no conclusion day right now, so it's not even worth discussing at this point.
Well, so I think a lot of Nancy, but she can't use Erica's, we want this to go on forever, and then make this group think we're going to go on forever. No, we have defined objectives. We need to identify barriers in the village. We need to make recommendations, and then we need to move on with our lives.
So once again, the definition of recommendations can go on. It didn't say that this committee will conclude.
Well, the comment was made, Erica wants this to go on in perpetuity. I don't know if she actually said that or not. I'm just saying I don't think we should, mm-hmm. and I object to that being our goal. Our goal is not to be in perpetuity.
Again, this is a topic of conversation for the committee to
have. And a conversation.
Yeah, no, you are. And that's why I'll mark it with an asterisk so that we know that that's a topic for where there isn't complete.
And I'd like the village board to weigh in on that.
Yeah.
So Erica isn't here to say whether or not she made that comment, but I think that Nancy's comments are really appropriate and relevant whether or not Erica has made that statement. So let's meet those with it. We have ongoing charges in our guiding document, including acting as an advisor in terms of carry out village partnerships and priorities relating to equity and acting as a community resource with respect to issues with equity. So in those senses, I think that's what Erica was referring to. But when I think about this group, it includes those charges as well as the charge to develop an RFP and develop these lists. At first, it will depend on whether the board wants us to continue them. So, just an idea.
Okay.
Let's
see.
Well, I just wanted to say the last part that was added, it's the board of trustees that created us. It's the board of trustees at this point that makes us our recommendations. Nothing is forever.
Is there anyone on Zoom who would like to add anything under governance and DEI review framework as we close in on about 3 minutes left here?
Well, I want to thank everybody. This has been a fantastic learning opportunity for me. I hope you guys enjoyed the process of going through and talking out ideas and thoughts and objectives with regard to each of the subgroups. I think we have a pretty good sense that within the 7 subgroups, we are covering most of the areas that we all kind of synthesized around today. The one where we did create a new possible bucket, we are going to be moving over into the other group. So I think we are pretty comfortable and confident with the group of 7. That would be where I think you guys are going. Again, my first night, so I get the benefit of being naive. So in that regard, globally, did we miss anything? Is there anything out there that you go, you know, I was waiting for and we didn't hit it?
Governments. I was thinking each one of the units within the village has a self-description, right? As a group that is committed to work with all races, all. Can we have a listing of those kinds of statements and go over them on the basis of what we have now pretty clearly defined what those three letters are about? And simply, maybe that's where we discover things that need to be submitted. Directions and, you know.
Yep, guiding principles. Yes, very good observation. Anything else?
In the writing of the RMP, the things that verbalized from our last meeting, along with what we wrote on the
Yes, so this will go essentially, and I'm speaking for Lisa.
Yeah,
so those, that what was there before, and then bulleted underneath, and Lisa's done a much better job. I know her, she, as I scribbled, she actually wrote what was being said. So it'll be much more robust than what you're seeing here, but in completely consistent with our conversation.
Yeah, it'll be basically a rolling document, right, to capture.
And is the audio working tonight?
Yep, it's recording. Well, I mean, I see it, the red recording button on the screen.
Yeah.
So I assume it is.
You're doing great.
Also, you know, this was fantastic. Let me just say this is a great meeting. Number two, start thinking about what some committees you might want to work with. So now that you see kind of like a broad scope, you know, take the time between now and next meeting, just think about what to do now. If we can just talk about next steps with regards
to
that. Go ahead.
Sure. So there's no new business confirmation of the next meeting date. So again, our meeting schedule is the first Monday and third Tuesday of every month, which means our next meetings are February 7th and February 22nd.
May I?
Maybe one second. That's a good point. Let me go back. It is the 4th, but because
I show it the 15th.
Is it?
I show it on the 15th.
Well, hang on. Let me go back to the 2022 schedule.
Do one thing? So anybody who wants to participate in the racial healing circles that Dominican is going to conduct will be every Monday for the next 6 weeks. And that is early, so it won't conflict with the meeting. But that's going to just suck up everybody's Monday nights. So I just wanted to throw it out.
It's a problem if you change it to the 22nd, because that becomes a fourth Tuesday for other things that were involved in.
So the schedule, and I'm just going.
I showed it the 15th.
Okay. Yeah, the schedule that we approved, and it must have just been as we were going through it, that we approved had it on February 22nd, but that doesn't mean we can't change it.
Yeah.
And February and March and November. So I went to put them on my calendar.
Oh, thanks, Nancy.
And I went, wait a minute, I've got a meeting that night.
Well, and I would hazard a guess, and Ken, this is a conversation that I think we all were going to have as a group later on, but it might make good sense that we have one meeting, which is the larger group, and then the other meeting is the breakout group. Is that something that we've thought about and considered?
Not as a large group, but
I think that we definitely want to chart the waters next meeting formulation of groups. Like I said, you know, we'd like to surround education around some of these as well. So, and then, you know, just the fact gathering, that's got to start sooner rather than later. So, you know, like you're saying, we'll develop that. Now we have designated groups and you know, we're slowly moving towards developing process on that. So,
I want to thank all three of you for getting us moving closer towards real accomplishments. Thank you very much. This was really productive.
Well, we're Villager of the Year, so that's what we do.
There you go. Mic drop.
And a woman.
And I'm definitely in a motion to adjourn. But I do want to thank everybody. You know, the conversation night was absolutely fantastic. I really did enjoy hearing all of your thoughts and inputs and the respectful tenor as well, too. And we're at points where we had disagreement. I appreciate it.
All right, who wants to make a motion to adjourn? Otherwise, folks, we keep going. Rogers, Creedy second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Remember, identify yourself if you're one of those anarchists. All right, meeting adjourned to 9:02 p.m.
Thank you, guys.